Women's health is having a revolution.
I started this club for all women going through perimenopause and menopause.
And modern tech really made it happen.
I'm in menopause!
Perimenopause.
You notice a lot of changes.
Menopause.
Menopause!
The change.
Cougar puberty. I knew this day would come. I just didn't think it would happen this fast. And the moods. Oh, the moods. One second, she's totally fine. The next, she's crying because we're out of cheese.
Cheese?
I mean, yeah, cheese is important, but it felt personal.
Why are we talking about menopause on a tech-ish show? Because not a day or two goes by that it doesn't come up in a fairly mainstream conversation right now.
When I was going through it, there was nothing. There was nobody.
We're half the population. Everybody's going to go into menopause at some point or another. Why shouldn't we be talking about it? So I just went, this. Like, let's just talk about it.
Oh yeah, we're talking about it, all right.
Don't gaslight yourself. If you feel like something's wrong, something you can't put your finger on, something just doesn't feel right, you're right.
I'm on Reddit threads with thousands of replies. Group chats, they're blowing up. Online searches for perimenopause are up 60%. HRT prescriptions jumped 86% in 4 years. Digital menopause platforms reported their highest traffic ever last year, 2025. The medical director of the Menopause Society called it a cultural and medical watershed moment. And last November, the FDA finally caught up, removing the black box warning on HRT after 2 decades of scaring women away from it.
The FDA has removed the black box warning labels on hormone replacement therapy drugs, and these medications are used to help treat the symptoms of menopause.
And there's a new wrinkle, oh God, don't even get me started on those, brewing. There is a full-blown estrogen and progesterone, hormone replacement therapy or HRT, shortage.
One girlfriend who said they literally wrote her name down on a list and said, we're going down the list. Wow. We'll call you when something becomes available.
One person who saw all of this coming, well, she's our guest today, Joanna Strober. She co-founded Midi Health in 2021 to solve a problem the medical system refused to. Now Joanna's sounding the alarm on the HRT shortage. What got us here? What's broken? What comes next? And why every single person who listens to this should care. Let's jump in. Joanna Strober, welcome to Techishly Gen, CEO of Midi Health, the first telehealth company to literally change my life. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
You and I sat down and had a conversation almost 2 years ago. It was the first I had heard of menopause becoming a thing. And since then, I mean, menopause has had its moment. When Oprah's talking about it, it's here. It's now it's front and center. Can you believe that from 2024 to now, can you believe what's happened?
Oh my goodness. Can you believe it? It's so funny. You know, when I was going through perimenopause, no one even talked about it. Like no one even used the word. None of my friends talked about it. Like now it's like menopause is in the zeitgeist, right? And all the celebrities are talking about it. But you know, when we first started the company in 2021, we would ask celebrities if they would work with us. And they're like, no, I can't admit that I'm in perimenopause. It will destroy my career. So there's been a huge shift in how we're thinking and talking about these issues.
Midi is really at the very, very top. And for me, by a long shot, I tested them all. I tried them all. Midi won for so many reasons, starting with the fact that you see somebody. I actually see a provider. It's telehealth. I see a provider via video once a month, no matter what. I have not been able to stick to a schedule and do anything once a month without fail. But for 2 straight years, I have looked my Midi provider in the eye. We've had 15 minutes every single month. That so far exceeds what I have with my own doctor and doctors that I pay $2,000 a month for my, you know, through my health insurance.
Yeah.
So that's just the beginning of what's so amazing about Midi Health.
So, you know, what we did when we started was we built a company for you and me. We really did. We really said, okay, what do we want? Like, what we have founders, we're all over 50. We're all busy women. We all have children. We all were really struggling to find good care. So we said, what do we want? And the first was expertise. We want expertise on our bodies. We want people who really understand our bodies. Second was, we wanted it online. We didn't have to go in to the provider. And the third was, we wanted it covered by insurance. So we felt like we had paid insurance for so long. We continue to pay insurance. We wanted our care to be covered by insurance. And the fourth was, we wanted empathy. Like, we wanted someone who understood us and talked to us and cared about us. And that relationship that we would have with Midi is fundamental to what we believe that women are looking for and that we wanted to build.
Okay, let me take you back to the gaslit generation, your generation, my generation, the generation of women who were told it's in our head, we were too stressed, we were working out too much or not enough, and who time and time and time again were told by every physician everywhere to suck it up.
No, natural part of aging, right? It was just a natural part of aging. And my story was not unique, honestly. I was not sleeping. I was gaining weight. I was very irritable. I went to a doctor and they gave me SSRIs. They told me to go to a therapist. They told me to go to a marriage therapist. They sent me to get a sleep study because I'd stopped sleeping. And no one said, wow, this is like, you're a woman, you're this age. Could this all be related to your hormones? And it took me a long time before I found the right provider. And I paid $2,000 to go to that provider. And she gave me the right medications. And I cried. And I sat there in her couch and I cried because she said, actually, you know, all these things are very fixable and you don't have to feel like this. So I got the right care from her. And very quickly, I was feeling better. And what I realize is that, you know, most providers, it's not on them. They have not been trained in this. So it's not something they were trained in. It's not the way we provide, we practice medicine. And we practice medicine where you have a head issue, you have a headache doctor. Or you go to a neurologist. If you have joint pain, you go to an orthopedic surgeon. We don't have a holistic system where they look at your whole body and say, you're a 47-year-old woman. All these things are happening to you. Let's see how we can help you. And so a lot of what we do at Midi is we bring together cardiologists, endocrinologists, internal medicine specialists, cancer specialists, OBGYNs, and they all collaborate on our care protocols so that it's a holistic process. And we're able to say, you should think about, you know, you might need to go for an in-person test for something, and you, we can try this medication for and come back in a month and see if you're feeling better. But it's very much creating a holistic approach to women's health. When people say to me, well, why don't we just train better in medical school on menopause care? Menopause care is reimbursed like primary care. So it's reimbursed at a very low state. So we don't have incentives for insurance-covered medical care for these type of issues. And I think if that changes, I mean, it's good. I'm not going to say it's good for my company, but the care gap will continue. But it's bad because we need a lot more providers who are trained in this. But the only way they're going to do that is if they can make money doing it.
So just to put a pin in this gaslit generation, I first went to the doctor about symptoms 10 years ago. I just turned 55, so I was 45-ish and was told that hormone replacement therapy was not okay, that it led to breast cancer. This is my practicing physician. I was told all of the same things. It's in your head. And weird symptoms. Nobody tells you, first, my eyesight went. I need reading glasses now. My eyesight is terrible. My hair started falling out. My ears itch. My legs are twitchy. Libido, like, can we even get started on that? Like, I just had no idea. Gained weight. You know, ultra marathon runner who's packed on 20 pounds and is running, you know, hundreds of miles. And then this is funny because it still happens. And I tell my all male crew, like, you're watching menopause in motion, words falling out of my head, the brain fog, the sleep, the hot flashes. In what world is that like, just suck it up, sister? You know, your grandmother experienced it. She survived, you know, like, in what world are those things okay?
And you mentioned the glasses, right? Like, we do give you glasses when your eyesight fails.
Yeah.
You know, hormone decline is the same thing as our eyes getting bad. It's the same thing. You should treat it in the same proactive way as needing glasses. So there are lots of medications you can take. The hormone replacement therapy is the most effective. It is for all the symptoms in your body. If you can't take hormones, then there are lots of other things that we can give you. But the goal is to make sure that there's enough research and data and then information so we can get that information, the correct information out to women.
Yeah. Early on, some people in the established medical world were saying this isn't safe. They don't know you. Go to your own doctor. How have you dealt with that kind of critique and criticism and really old fashioned thinking?
You know, one thing that's very interesting, just yesterday, I was showing our complex care channel to a physician. And this physician is a concierge doctor, and she charges a lot of money to go see her, which is great for those patients. So I was showing her our complex care channel, and I was showing her the complexity of all of the patients who are coming to us. And she's like, oh, these people should all be seen in person. You shouldn't be seeing them online. I said, where do you think they're going to go? Like, the reason we see them is there is no place for them to go. Many people live 2 hours from a doctor, and then they still have to spend 2 months getting into that doctor, and then they have to drive and take a day off of work to go see that doctor. So theoretically, the whole world could afford this very expensive concierge doctor and could all be non-working women who could go in and go see them. But I'm building for a reality. And the reality is that for MIDI, we see patients who are some of the most powerful women in the country, and we see a lot of factory workers. And my job is to take care of all of them and make sure that all of them get really high quality care. If they need in-person care, we always refer them there, but we can take care of a lot of different things so they don't need to go anyplace else.
So much has been done in the past 2 years, but what one thing, I just keep bringing up the past 2 years because that was the last time you and I had a chance to sit and talk like this. So much has happened. What's been the most shocking or surprising thing for you in these past 2 years?
I would say that what we didn't understand when we started MIDI is that actually we're a primary care company. We're not just a menopause company. What we've seen is the gap of medical care is so enormous that women don't have access to care, period. So we thought we were much more focused on hormones. Now we're focused on really full women's health because that is the gap in the marketplace. And so that's exciting to fill. It's also changed how we provide care, and we've had to hire different providers. And there's a lot of things we had to do in order to adapt to that. But that, the reality is that there is a huge care gap in this country, and that is what we're trying to fill. That's been a learning for me, and it's changed how we provide care. I mean, it's interesting that menopause is hot. I'm not wearing my t-shirt right now, but it is true. The conversation is changing, and it's super exciting to me that women are being more proactive about their care. And women are being more proactive about just taking care of themselves, period. I think they're getting riled up. They're realizing that until 1992, women were not included in studies. So women are basically in this movement, right? We're all in this movement together. Women's research, women's care, evolving the women's care. I think that's a very exciting movement to be a part of.
A flawed study in 2002 shaped how millions of women, including us, were treated or not treated. I mean, for two decades, you know, 20 years went by. Are we seeing some accountability for that now?
So that one is very sad to me. And, you know, it's hard because on one hand, we're trying really hard to have confidence in science, right? And we're really pushing confidence in science. On the other hand, this study, which was a very scientific study, was misread, misinterpreted, and used to deny appropriate care, as you said, to two generations of women. And honestly, it's still being used because most doctors still believe in the study. And it's actually worse in other countries. Like in many countries, in our country, we're up to 5% of women being on hormone replacement therapy. Many countries, it's less than one still. I was recently in Mexico. If you go to a pharmacy in Mexico, you can buy Viagra. You can buy weight loss medications. You can buy almost any medication you want. You can't get a hormone. They're not in stock. Worldwide, this study was misinterpreted. And we have a long ways to go to fix that. So it is, yeah. It's a warning sign to me that research is not enough. You have to have the research. You have to also have the right information after the research. You need the right people to interpret the research. So there's a lot of learnings from that.
Patches, hormone replacement therapy patches. There's a shortage of them now.
Huge shortage. Yes. So we have been talking to manufacturers all over the country to understand what's going on. Essentially, in the last 2 years, the percentage of women looking for the hormone patches went up 70% a year. And there's no new manufacturing capacity. There's factories that make these patches. They're very specialized factories. It's very expensive to open a new factory and to build a new factory. And it takes a long time. When the increase started, these factories thought it was going to be a short-term increase. So they didn't want to build new manufacturing capacity because they thought it was just going to go back down.
They thought it was just having its Oprah moment. Like, why did they think it was just a blip?
They thought it was just having a blip. That's right. So they could have started a year ago building new capacity, but they didn't. So I've been talking to them, and we are going to have a very hard year ahead of us of not having enough patches. It's actually going to get worse. At Midi, we're doing a few things. First of all, we are going to develop a hormone cream that you can use if the patch, and I'm actually going to suggest it to people really for when the patch is out of stock. As someone who will have a panic attack, I am going to have it sitting on my, in my bathroom. And if I can't get the patch because it's out of stock, I'm going to use the cream, and we're going to tell people what the conversion is so you can use the cream and you don't have to panic. That's number one. Number two, we're trying to get better supply for our patients. But everyone is fighting over that supply. And clearly, Midi's not as big as CVS and Walgreens, and they're going to get served first. We are also looking at other options. Also, we just learned that it's not just an estrogen shortage. It's also a progesterone shortage that's getting worse. So the production of that has not gone up either. So we're actually going to work with compounding pharmacies to make a progesterone again, so you can have it in stock just in case. Because the worry of not having that patch is, or that in that progesterone is real. And so we're working with compounding pharmacies to make backups. We can't make patches. So we're coming up with what we can. But literally, I was on calls with the manufacturers, and they're like, well, we're worried about building too many facilities because we don't know if this is going to stop. Right. And are women going to continue to look for this? And we don't want to overbuild our capacity, which you can understand. It's very expensive to build a manufacturing facility. My team keeps on asking me, like, could you go to DC and do something about the patch shortage? And the answer is no. The answer is this is about a manufacturing issue. The FDA did something good by eliminating the black box warning in November. I don't think that was a 2-year thought out discussion. So they didn't warn the manufacturers that they were going to do this. So the manufacturers weren't ready. So this is very much a supply chain issue. It's not a political issue.
I have a little stat in front of me that says in 2023, only 4%. So 3 years ago, only 4% of the $26.5 billion invested in healthcare companies went to women's health. Now that's starting to change. That tide is changing. Serena Williams is an investor. Culturally, there's a shift. Will it happen quickly enough for us?
Look, there's a lot that needs to change, right? We need more research. We really need more research. And that takes a long time to get the right research. So it's a process. This is not an overnight change. I am optimistic that there is more attention going into women's health, and that will start to make a change. The other thing that is helpful, and this is, good for your audience, is there are more women venture capitalists. And essentially, in order for companies like mine to get started, they need funding, right? Like, and historically, women have not had access to funding, which means they haven't been able to build companies that serve women's needs. And that is something that needs to change too. So we have a lot that needs to change. We need more research, and we need more funding, and we need more growth funding. Like, there's just so many parts of the chain that require change. But honestly, I'm very optimistic. And I'm optimistic because women are looking for these things. And this is we live in a business oriented society, right? Where money gets spent is where investment gets put. And so women being proactive and looking for this type of care means that companies like mine can get started and thrive. So women's commercial behavior is actually what's going to make the biggest impact.
Well, if medicine ignored menopause for this long, it makes me wonder what else it's ignoring.
I think that's a good point. We also live in a hard, we live in a society that is very financially driven. Now that is, that's just a fact, right?
Yeah.
But you look at something like testosterone, and testosterone is not approved for women's health.
Yeah, I cannot get it here in the state of Washington. I cannot, my MIDI provider wanted to have me start taking testosterone. I can't do it. Can't get it.
So we are working on that. So, okay, but here's the reality of the situation. It's not approved for women's health, right? So even for libido, where it's, it has good evidence, because it's not owned by a drug company, they're not putting it through all of the FDA testing. And then they're not putting a big marketing budget behind it because it's a generic product. So in order for a drug to get approved, it requires hundreds of millions of dollars. They're not going to approve a generic product. So there's no one who's fighting to get more research on testosterone. Same thing with estrogen. Those patches are cheap. They're generic. No one is fighting to get more research on estrogen. I mean, I will give you an interesting example that I think about a lot. 20% of all women in this country are taking, in middle age at least, I don't know the younger, are taking SSRIs. 20%, okay? What we know is that when the Women's Health Initiative announced its finding, and 20 years ago, the percentage of women on hormones went down and the percentage of women on SSRIs skyrocketed. What? Every SSRI is owned by some drug company and they do the research on their one drug, right, that they're going to sell. They never have done a study on that versus a hormone. No one has ever done a study, a big study, to say, oh, why don't we just think about women going on hormones instead of going as SSRIs? And SSRIs have significant side effects, decreased libido, their, you know, weight gain, like significant side effects. And no one has ever been incentivized to do this study that I'm talking about. So
yeah,
that's really important.
Yeah. And we should add, what is an SSRI?
For anxiety and depression. It's a medication for anxiety and depression.
Serotonin uptake inhibitor or something like that, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So we'll treat what's in a woman's head, even though we think it's just in her head, which will make these menopause symptoms worse in many ways.
Yes.
Because that's where the money is.
Yes, that's correct.
So I did hear you mention earlier that there will be some components of AI. Where are you shifting? How is what's happening at MIDI today shifting for the future?
Oh, I couldn't actually be more excited about AI, quite honestly. I feel like I am building healthcare in a very exciting time. So AI is enabling us to transform our business. We started with little projects like using AI to read an insurance card, right? So we didn't have to have an insurance reader. We could have the AI read the insurance card. Then we start doing AI prior authorization so we can fight harder to get your medicines paid for by the insurance company. We're starting to use AI for answering questions that can be answered by AI instead of by a provider. So your provider can only focus on the real questions. Can we do AI refills? That would be great. Can we use AI to actually help you look for a pharmacy that has the patch in stock? There are so many things we can use AI for. What I want to do is maximize the emotional connection that we have in our visit, right? And I want all the other stuff around it to be automated by AI. And I think that's possible. I think we can do that. And so honestly, like, I think we're going to have a much, much better company because of AI, and it will enable us to offer better care.
I heard a rumor that you're thinking heavily on longevity health. And I don't know even where I heard this. I don't know if I read it somewhere, if somebody mentioned it to me. What does that look like past, you know, getting through this horrific menopause stuff? And can I just say, it is so awful, but enough about my own menopause. What that you have, okay, I have so many asides. Let me do one more aside too. So I gained weight very publicly. I'm on the Today Show. I'm out there in front of the world. Could not run enough miles to keep the weight off. I have now lost weight very publicly, and people keep saying, are you on Ozempic or what are you doing? It is literally hormone replacement patches. It's the hormone therapy. It has been life-changing for me. I mean, it's in so, so many ways.
There is a study, by the way, that shows that the best way to lose weight is a combination of GLP-1s and hormone replacement therapy, and that using the two of them together gives you like 30%, I'm going to get that number wrong, but about 30% more weight loss.
Yeah, I've been hearing about, in fact, I was at a physical therapist yesterday, and she said, like microdosing GLP-1s. Have you heard about this place called Midi? And all of her doctor friends are talking about microdosing GLP-1s through Midi. And I was like, as a matter of fact, I have heard of them.
So, yeah. I mean, a lot of people, yeah. It works really well for weight loss. But getting back to longevity, here's what I'm going to tell you. First of all, longevity is a funny word. In Silicon Valley, your audience thinks, you know, living till 120. I think of longevity differently. I think that the things you do in your 30s, 40s, and 50s have a huge impact on you in your 70s and 80s. And it's our job to help you figure out what those are. Now, a lot of them are really basic. Honestly, it's exercise, it's sleep, it's diet. It is the basics. But then hormone replacement therapy is starting to show a reduction in cardiovascular disease, for example. It's starting to show that women's bones are stronger when they're on hormone replacement therapy. So there are basic things that we can do. There's emerging research on omega-3s and B12 for your brain health. What we want to do is educate you on where there's emerging research. And then we want to give you access to that research so that you're able to make the best decisions possible. We're not trying to get you to live to 120. But honestly, Jennifer, if I can get you to eat those things better and I get you to do your screenings, get you to the mammogram, get you to the colonoscopy, get you to get that shingles vaccine. Do you know the significant reduction in Alzheimer's among people who had their shingles vaccine? So a lot of it is prevention, and it's just basic prevention that women haven't done. Again, they don't go to the primary care doctor enough to do all these things. But then also we're working with a very well-known longevity person to do a blood test, for example, that's specifically targeted toward women and our women's health. We'll be able to order that for you later this year. So a lot of this is just basics, but making sure you're doing the basics.
What do you wish every man would talk about when we talk about menopause?
It's so funny you ask, because I go to parties now, and yes, women talk about it, but men come and thank me for educating them, and also because they have happier wives. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think back to myself, right? I was pretty unpleasant for a period of time. It was really difficult in our marriage. I wish someone had said much earlier to us, you know, maybe this is menopause or perimenopause. And I feel like we should have been addressing it in our marriage much, much sooner. And I think it's just really important. I think men need to understand, look, men are going through a lot of changes too, and challenges. I think we all need to have some grace toward each other, but we also need to understand that there's things we can do to feel better, and we should be offered those options.
Joanna Strober, CEO of Midi Health. If you have not heard about it, look it up right this second. If you know any woman who's between the ages of 35 and 65, is that about right?
That's right. Although we have women who are 85 coming to us. We have women who are 18 coming to us. Like, it's pretty broad scope, but most of our patients are in that age category.
Yeah, I have a 25-year-old daughter. She's almost 25, 24-year-old daughter, who gets a lot of her female reproductive health now through telehealth as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really has been such a saving grace for so many of us who were not getting seen or heard with traditional medicine here in this country.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I think that's right.
You know, I focus a lot on little bits of our lives or society that tech has kind of messed up. But here's one the tech has fixed. I like that. Thanks for being here. Find more at techish.com.
What'd you think about today's episode of Techishly Gen? Be sure to let me know. Follow our newsletter. Reach out on the socials. Can't wait to see you right back here on the next installment of Techishly Gen.